Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in today. I am interviewing a guest that we have previously had on the Missing Link podcast because she has such a powerful story, but also has something new up her sleeve that I just think the whole world should know about. I'm interviewing Julie Stamm. She was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis in 2007. Following her diagnosis, Julie made it her mission to educate, advocate, and support others battling chronic illnesses. She works tirelessly to help lessen the burden each patient has to bear. Her efforts have given her the opportunity to work with physicians, patients, and foundations across the globe. On today's episode, we talk about her book that normalizes differing abilities and amplifies how each of us can thrive in spite of challenges, and her newest creation, 52 Essential Inclusion Skills, which come in an inclusion deck. The big question is, how does someone with MS actually improve their mobility, strength, energy, independence? The list goes on. My name is Dr. Gretchen Hawley, physical therapist and multiple sclerosis specialist. Welcome to the Missing Link podcast. Tune in as I share the top strategies and exercises to help you gain control over your life with MS using research-driven insights and advice from top industry experts. Whether you're newly diagnosed or have had MS for over 30 years, whether you have relapsing MS or progressive MS, this podcast is for you. You're sure to feel empowered and inspired after each episode. Ready? Let's dive in. Julie, thank you so much for being here with us today.
I'm so excited to be here again. I love talking with you the first time, so thank you.
Absolutely. And by the way, we're going to get deep into this, but Julie was, I wouldn't say one of our first guests, but within our first year, for sure, you were on podcast episode number 55, where we were talking about your journey and your book. So if you haven't listened to that, that would be a good prerequisite for this one. But before we dive into our topic today, is it okay if I ask you a question from my interview deck?
Always. I'm a book, open book. So go ahead.
Awesome. No pun intended, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Your question is, if you or your partner were pregnant, where would be the worst place to go into labor?
Ooh, traffic. I think traffic would be terrible. Yeah, I think someplace that you couldn't get to a hospital quickly would be pretty horrible. But like, it's funny that you asked that question, because when I was pregnant, when I was about to have my son, we took the New York subway system there because there was just so much traffic on the Brooklyn Bridge. So I have a picture of me like super pregnant, and Adam has our bag, and we're like, we're taking the subway to go have a baby right now. And that's what we did.
Oh my gosh, that's so crazy. Were people looking at you like, what is she doing?
I wasn't like in labor. I was a C-section. So it wasn't like I wasn't screaming or anything, but it was just very surreal, like knowing that we're taking the subway, two of us, and we're going to come home, three of us. It was just very crazy.
Yeah. Wow. That's cool. I love that. I can picture that in my mind as you were saying it.
Oh my gosh. I'll have to send the picture to you because it was just such a wild experience. And it was even down to like the person not giving up their seat for a pregnant woman, and Adam being like, can you get up?
Right.
Yeah.
We're literally about to go have a child.
Yeah. We're going to have a baby in like hours.
Right. Oh my gosh. What a perfect question.
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah. So, okay. So let's dive in. So if someone hasn't listened to episode 55 yet, they don't know who you are, can you just explain a bit about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, sure. Julie Stamm, and I was diagnosed in 2007 with multiple sclerosis. I am now a caregiver for my mom, who has frontal temporal dementia, which is a pretty horrific disease. I am a mom and an advocate for other people with all kinds of chronic illnesses, and a wife and an author. And lastly, my newest creation I created with Dr. Jenny Wu, the 52 Essential Inclusion Skill Deck, which I'm very proud of.
Yeah. And so let's back up a little, because again, if people haven't listened to our initial episode, you launched a book And it was initially launched back in 2020. And we were talking a bit before I pressed record. And 2020 was when my sister had her first baby. It was the first baby in our family. And I got your book and I absolutely loved it. And from the moment he was born, I was like, someday I'm going to get him this book. And I'm so excited to give it to him. Not that he'd understand it at a super young age, but I was so excited because it's such a great book that demonstrates disability. And not only that, but invisible illness and different levels and varying degrees of disability on different days. For those that don't know about the book, can you just share, you know, what is the title and what is it about?
Yeah. So its title is Some Days, and it was initially self-published and we got picked up by a traditional publishing house. So the book, I really just wanted to have a copy for my son's baby box. Like I wanted to have like just one book. And then when we had that one book, we put it on Amazon and it started getting noticed. So we had like Selma and Montel and Jamie Lynn, and like everyone was shouting it out. And then my friend who works for a publishing company brought the self-published and then they picked it up and we redid it. And I'm super proud of it. It's based off my worst days. These are my cry myself to sleep days, but I listened to my son and these are great adventures for him. So he didn't see these days that I thought I was failing as a mom as like failures. He saw them as great adventures and just normal life, nothing. And it really relieved the guilt that I've had. And I think that's an important lesson for all parents is that we should really listen more to our kids than instead of our own internal monologue, because it's so easy for us to be like, did we do enough vegetables, too much screen time? There's so many things as a parent and you'll be there soon and I'll get you through it. No, but I hope I'm really proud of the book and I'm proud that children get it now. I read at my son's school, not only there, but like all over. And I love the questions that I get. And it's very rewarding to know that, you know, one in four of us in the United States have a difference. So let's celebrate them and learn how to adapt and thrive in spite of it.
Absolutely. So I did end up giving it to my nephew this past year for Christmas. And at the time he was, I think he was about 2.5. So I think still a little young to like really understand it, but he liked it. As soon as he got it, he opened, he was pointing at things. And so I'm just really excited for him to grow up with that book and to like see his understanding of it evolve over time. I think that'll be really special.
It's so, even just in the MS community, I have so much great support, but just even Instagram or wherever, just getting these messages of people with their babies because they have MS and they're like, can't wait to read it. And then like through the years, just seeing like their children understand it differently is really, and just people using it as a tool to tell their children is really, really important to me. Because I think keeping it from your child is a really big disservice. So I think being open and transparent about something that impacts you so greatly is important. Although I think you should do it on your own time, whatever. I'm not pressuring people to do that, but I love that people use it for that.
Yeah. And so now you have this inclusion deck. Can you take us through how you even thought to have this as your next step and then B, what it is?
I am so proud. I was going to do an A to Z guide to chronic illness book, but there's so many great books out there now. Like I feel like when my book came out, there weren't really the resources. The reason why I created it really was because there weren't the resources for the age group that I was looking for, something that I like the materials. I don't want to talk about demyelination. I don't want to have any doom and gloom. I wanted to give a positive resource and they have that. But then I was introduced to Dr. Jenny Wu from my sister-in-law, and she's just this powerhouse, this amazing, brilliant, Harvard-educated woman that has these inclusion skill deck. And we were just talking and I wanted to do like a memory game. I was trying to make it something different. And she has her card series and we were like, wait, 26 letters times two kids for the A to Z. And that's 52. She has the series. So it fit right in line with it. And her and I worked really well together. But what we like about it is on each card, there is a QR code and it tells someone's story. So it's raising awareness for differences that you might not know about. And I'm really big in the disability community. And I learned so much from these heroes. Like it's wild. And we have questions. I think it's four questions for each of them. And it's like, what do you want the world to know about what you're going through? And like, what brings you joy? And none of them are talking about materialistic things. It's about their advocacy. It's about helping others. And to me, that just shines a light on like, that's what life is about, is leaving your footprint. And I think when you have a difference, you see that a little bit more clearly.
I love that. So for the inclusion deck, is it geared towards questions that children can ask so that they can gain a better understanding, or how does it work and how is it meant to be used?
So there's all different questions and stuff, but the purpose for me is to make them think and to take away like the fear in words, like to take words like hospital and make it not scary and just define it. So we do have a definition card and a prompt card for each letter. So like disability, some of them like abled, what are some things that you are good at? How can you use your abilities to help those who might need help? And how do you feel when you help someone? And there's like balance. And we talk about all different words and like chronic. These are words that kids should know, and emergency. But what I like is that when I'm playing them with kids, I just did a game with my son at school, and the kids were like looking at the playground after. And they were like, this is what we should do to help, like, you know, whoever the kid's name is in the wheelchair, to make it more accessible for them. And like, they're thinking, they're looking at the school in a different way. And I think that's what we need. We need people to look at the world and say, oh, how can I make this better for everyone? You know, like, oh, you can't go to the beach. They were coming up with all these things like, you can't do this. How can we fix that? And that's important. And for 7-year-olds, I was like, wow, that was, you know, they came up with so many great points. And I think the earlier we get those brilliant minds working, the better, because they see things that we don't as adults, because we're so just programmed to see it as how it is. And they're not. I hope that the deck does that. I hope it, you know, it makes our children realize it's okay to ask questions and not everything's going to look the same. But really to look at your world and think of everyone, not just yourself.
Yeah. And as you said, I think that's so powerful, especially at a young age. And they will think of things that we wouldn't, just because our minds are, you know, as you said, we're just so programmed from our history that we've had and what we've seen and didn't see and experience and didn't experience, that it's harder for adults to open our minds as much, to where kids, they just have all these ideas and all these different ways of doing things. And so it's almost like a creative project for them.
Yeah. And they're brilliant. I mean, they come up with such good ideas. You know, we were joking, I can't run and I can't jump. And they were like, well, what if we created something that would hold you up under your arms and make it so that, you know, like, I'm like, that's great. You know, just so you have that feeling. And I say it all the time, but like Jack sees like a telephone thing and he's like, that's a Spider-Man web, or, you know, like, so they just see things different. And I think this is when the conversation should start. And then there's, you know, I played this with my book. I was reading and I was talking about MS, and like one of the younger girls, she was like, well, when am I going to get it? I'm like, what do you mean? She just didn't know. Like, so if we don't talk to our children about it, that's just having like an underlying fear. And just opening that communication is so important in my mind. I always say to Jack, what's your good part, bad part, crazy part of the day at the end of the day, just to like hear. And, you know, the thing that I would always be like, oh, it's got to be the 2 donuts that I bought him. You know, it's never what I think it is. It's always something like, oh, do you remember like when you tripped and it was like funny, or, you know, it's all these like, he sees his good part, bad part, crazy part are always going to be different than mine. So I think it's important not to project onto other people how they're going to feel and what they value.
Yeah. And do you find that when playing these games and using these cards, that the kids are almost like naturally inclined to think about ways to include others that aren't able to do those things, versus just that's a hard no, they just can't do it because they're in a wheelchair or because of their disability?
I think this one thing that I really enjoyed the last time that we played was two kids were like, oh, I have epilepsy, I have diabetes. And like, they were like, the other kids were, what? We didn't know. And then we started talking about epilepsy and diabetes. And like, that's something that they wouldn't have brought up in their class because they don't talk about it. So bringing it up and making people aware of it first, God forbid there was an incident, these other children are aware, like, this is what you do, you get help, you know, like, just to give them the tools to help be better supports. And it's not a burden, it's just an awareness.
Yeah. And it also sounds like it's not in a scary way. Like, it's not like, be careful, so-and-so has diabetes or so-and-so has XYZ. It's more so, as you said, awareness and just inclusion-based.
Yeah. And that's what the deck, I think, brings out the empowering as opposed to the burden. So I think it makes people want to vocalize what they have. And I found that every time I played, that someone's like, oh, I'm going to tell you about what I have and what makes me different. And I'm going to answer my questions. And I'm going to tell you what I want the world to know about it, as opposed to like, this is something that we only talk about with mom and dad and like something you have to be ashamed of. Instead of making it something to be worried or embarrassed about, it's something to be proud of, that you're becoming an advocate. And I think teaching advocacy from a very early age is so important, because I wasn't an advocate for myself until I had a disability for a long period of time. It took me a while. But I know that if I was a better advocate when I was younger, I probably wouldn't have taken 7 years to get diagnosed, you know, like, so I think teaching these kids early on, like how to advocate for yourself. And that's a big thing with the deck, is like giving them the tools, the language, the confidence to approach medical physicians and just know your body. You're your best expert is really a powerful tool. And the sooner we start that, the better.
Yeah, it's almost like, it sounds like the inclusion deck is really just as much for people with a disability as it is for people without a disability. And it kind of, it hits home in a different way, because if you have the disability, then it's more of advocating, not being afraid to share, not being afraid that your friends might look at you like you're crazy. But if you don't have a disability, it's more about how can we include them. So it kind of hits two groups of people all at the same time.
And that was our exact hope.
Oh, nice.
That was really our hope, is to give tools on both sides.
And I think it's cool too, because so as you've mentioned, so you have multiple sclerosis, and in your book, you mentioned that you have MS, and that these are the mobility that you have on different days is related to MS. But with these cards, it, as you've mentioned, it relates to any condition, any disability, any mobility level, which is really cool. It's not just one diagnosis.
No, and it's such a wide array. We only have 52, because there's only 52 cards in the deck, heroes in here. But if you go to Jenny's website, Mind, Brain, Emotion, we have way more there, because we didn't want to exclude anyone. Anyone that wants to share their story can share their story. But we have everything. We have from school shooting survivors. We've hit things that are, we need to raise awareness about. There are diseases that I'd never even heard of in there. And then, you know, there's pediatric cancer. There's pediatric cancer where they thrived and where they didn't. There's so many differences that I'm proud to bring a light to, because it opens conversation. And if we've never heard of it, we can't get closer to, you know, accepting it.
I love that. That's so powerful. Yes. I wonder, I'm just so curious. I wish I could take a look into the future of all these kids that are playing with these cards and reading the book. And I'm just so curious how their life will be shaped just from having this information. Like this, knowing this information, approaching conversations in this way, knowing that people live differently than you do at such an early age has got to shape what they do, who they become, how they think and feel as they get older. And I think that would just be so cool to be like, what is this kid doing 10 years from now and 20, 30 years from now?
I thought that the other day, and I said it, I was talking to Jenny, and I said, I hope when Jack, I have a baby box. I hope you do this for your son, a daughter too, but just of like things that I want him to look back and have pride of, like that I accomplished while being his mom, and like even his teeth, his like baby wristband, all that stuff. But I want him to look back. But when he does, I want him to be like, why was this even needed? I want it to be so obsolete that this is like, I can't believe you lived in a world that you had to talk about, because I want it to be so second nature. And I hope that it is. And that really is my hope, that he's like, you had to do this. Why would that even be a thing?
I love that. Yeah. Why did you waste your time on that?
Right. Like, obviously everyone knows what MS is and it's cured.
Oh my gosh. That's awesome. So what would you say if you had to think like big picture, what are your hopes for the disability community? Because obviously you're taking such huge strides towards, you know, really changing the future of what people think and feel about disability. But what would you say your big hopes are?
I think my hope is not just for the disability community. It's just for the world in general, to be kind and realize that everyone has something, and just treat everyone as if they're not a burden. I think that is a word that is so strikingly hurtful to me. Like when someone makes me feel like I'm a burden, and especially if it's unfounded, it wears on me. And I think if we need to teach our children and we need to teach ourselves to not make anyone ever feel that way. Because adjustments don't mean burden. Adjustments just mean rethinking how something's done.
One word that's coming to my mind right now that is, I don't know why, but it's always been a word where it's burden for you. For me, it's belittled. And I feel like they kind of go hand in hand at times. But, you know, I think with disability, it can be so easy for that the phrase of burdened or belittled to come up in how someone is feeling.
Yeah. And I think we should take that out. I think adjustments are made for people with disabilities, people without disabilities. And I think that's just life. That's not something that should be frowned upon. And I just believe, I know for me, I would do anything for anyone to make sure that they had a better day. And I think if everyone went around hoping that they're improving someone's day, that we'd be in a better world. And I always I could think of three opportunities where I didn't do something that I should have done. And they haunt me because I'm like, oh, I should have stuck up for that teenager that was getting picked on. Or, you know, like the things, you know, when you go back and you beat yourself up. But I think just in general, always trying to contribute something positive.
I think that's so powerful. And it's reminding you too of something that I don't know where I heard this initially, but I've seen the comparison of like, well, someone needs glasses to help them see. I need this wheelchair to help me move, or, you know, I need this cane.
I think you might have heard that from me because I have to use catheters. And Adam, on our first date night, I said, well, I have to use catheters. He's like, isn't that like they need glasses to see? And that's, I was like, oh my gosh, I was terrified to tell him. But like the fact that he's like, who cares? And that's the kind of like, that's probably why I married him, because he just doesn't see any of it as a burden. You know, it's just something that allows you to live your life.
Yeah. And that's how it should be. Everyone should feel that freedom.
Yeah. And I'm having a little bit of difficulty with MS, and I'm not going to be happy when I need a walking stick. I'm going to be really annoyed and mad, and I'm going to allow myself that. But then I'll get over it, just like every other obstacle, and I'll embrace it and I'll be empowered by it. But it's going to take a minute, and I'm not going to negate that for anyone that's going through a similar process.
So where can someone get your book and or your inclusion deck? If they're hearing our conversation, they're like, yes, I need that.
Well, you can go to your local library and request the book if you want, or Amazon and or your local bookstore. And for the deck, you can go to mindbrainemotion.com, or you can always check me out. And I do a lot of writing of articles and different kind of features. So my website is IamAmStamm.
Awesome. And I'll put that, and I have your Instagram account as well. So I'll put that in your website and the Amazon link all in the show notes. And I will just say too, just because when I launched my book back in July, it's become more to my attention than I had initially ever realized. But requesting books from your local bookstore or your local library really goes a long way. It does take a bit longer than Amazon, which, what is it, 2-day delivery, sometimes 1-day delivery now.
Yeah.
But it's so worth it. And libraries and local bookstores are typically super responsive to that. Like they want to know what new books are out there. So if anyone is listening and they are interested in the book or even the card deck, I'm sure they would get that too. Don't hesitate to go to your local bookstore, because it's a really powerful place to be able to spread the word to.
I agree. And I think for both of our books, I hope they do that for yours as well, because we need that. We need these resources in the world. And I think just getting the word out is very important.
Absolutely. Yeah. Prior to this experience, I was just like, oh, people, like you have to jump through hoops to go through books to get your book or thing that you're offering in a bookstore. And really just takes people asking. And
that's so, it's so easy. It's, you know, even down to like on Barnes & Noble and requesting it be picked up in the store. It's helpful. These things get it on the inventory. So. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Julie, thank you so much for sharing your story with us, sharing a bit about your book and the inclusion deck. I can't wait to get it. That'll be my next thing that I get, just because I love the book so much. And again, I'll put those links and everything in the show notes so that people can get it. But thank you so much for sharing with us.
Thank you for having me. I love everything that you're doing, and I'm proud of you and your book. So everyone request her book also.
Thank you for listening to today's show. I am so grateful to have you as a listener. If you'd like extra resources, such as a video of one of my seated exercise classes, my favorite core exercises, and the opportunity to ask me your questions, head to missinglink.com/insider. That link will be shared in the show notes along with links to my social media handles. If you loved this episode and think a friend or family member with MS would benefit from listening, please go ahead and text or email this podcast to them right now. Sharing this podcast will help me educate and empower as many MS warriors as possible. Thanks again for joining, and be sure to tune in next week for another episode of the Missing Link Podcast.